You're listening to the Lessons in Real Estate Show, sponsored by Mission First Capital, bringing real estate investment deals for active duty and veteran investors. Your host, Anthony Pinto, searched land, air, and sea to find military investors just like you investing in multifamily and commercial real estate, both active duty and veterans. Hear their stories, learn their lessons, and be inspired by the obstacles they have overcome on their path to financial freedom. Whether you are overseas or stationed at home, if you want to get started as a military real estate investor, this is the show for you. And now your host, Anthony Pinto.
I'm so excited to have you guys here today on the revamped, new and improved version of the Lessons in Real Estate Show. I wanted to refocus on my mission here in life with this podcast, and that is to help teach and inspire 1 million military members and veterans to achieve financial freedom through real estate. And as a part of the March to a Million campaign, my call is to show you the path to freedom of time and money, whether you intend to stay in for 20 years or get out next year. And so listen to the stories of fellow military members and investors just like you, struggling, overcoming, and achieving success in multifamily real estate, and even some of them doing it while active duty, and really dig into their lessons learned, as well as their failures on their path to success. But you came here for the show, so let's get to it. All right, and welcome back to another episode of the Lessons in Real Estate Show. I'm your host, Anthony Pinto, and today we have a special guest, and she is an active duty Navy Nurse Corps officer. She is a Villanova graduate, and she's now a mother, and she's joining me here live from Japan. Today we have Peggy Pinto. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. You know, we're here on our 99th episode, and it's been 2.5 years, and I've never had you on the show, so I figured we might as well have you here today, because tomorrow is, what is tomorrow?
Tomorrow is busting our newborn out of the NICU day.
Yes. If you haven't been tracking so far, it's been 9 months, and our baby was born, 3 weeks ago at the time of this recording. But when you're watching this and the time of this being released, she's now 2 months old. And, it's been a crazy past 3 weeks of her being in the NICU and being born in Japan, actually being born in a Japanese hospital instead of being born in a naval hospital like we thought she was going to be. But finally, she's being released to the Naval Hospital, and we're going to go be able to see her. But, before we go and do that, we just thought we'd take this time to get together and have kind of a walk down memory lane about our past, gosh, now 3 years.
Over three years now of
real estate. And, I think real estate is can be such a solitary experience for the individual doing it. But, I think a lot of our reasons why we do real estate is for our families and to have the time freedom to spend with our families and the money freedom to go on trips with our families and to not have to work and to spend time with our family to go do whatever it is we want to do with them. And so a large part of that is we don't really get to hear the other side of it. So I wanted to have Peggy here to kind of, talk through the experiences that we've had together, because, I talk with, 100 other people so far almost about their experiences and that they've gone through with multifamily and flipping and house hacking and everything in between. And it's very few times that I've had, couples on or spouses on that have talked about their own experiences. And so, I wanted to have Peggy come on and share her experiences as well. Let's just kind of start from the beginning and kind of get your thoughts on everything. So, if you've been following this far, we started in 2018 with house hacking, and, really started with me reading some books, the Purple Bible, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and Set for Life by Scott Trench. And I remember reading them underway on a submarine and coming home and telling Peggy that we were going to move from our 4-bedroom, house in Virginia Beach and move to, a quad. We were going to buy a quadplex and move into, a unit and rent out the other three. And I mean, what was your reaction to that? You know, not knowing that I was even interested in this.
So I will pause because it wasn't just moving out of our home in Virginia Beach. It was moving out of our two-story, two-and-a-half bath, four-bedroom colonial in Virginia Beach to a studio. So that was an adjustment. But I think from what I recall, at the time that things were getting started, you were working on getting the boat that you were on out of the yards. And if anybody's ever experienced that, if you're military and listening, you know it's a chaotic time to say the least. And so, you know, life had kind of been consumed by trying to get the boat out of the yards. And it was rough. It was a really rough time. It was a lot of long hours. It was a lot of unplanned delays and delays and delays. And I remember just hoping and wishing and praying, quite frankly, that you would find something that you enjoyed. And so there's this one point you come back from Sea Squares and whatever else submarines do. And you say, hey, I am reading this book. I think this is a great idea. And I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. So I kind of wrote it off. So there was kind of my mistake from the very beginning was I was like, oh yeah, okay, this will be a hobby. And here we are over 3 years later. but I kind of just for the first couple of months, I was just like, yeah, okay, I'll be along for this ride. We'll see how this goes. And I was super skeptical about the whole thing. And I think we'll dig a little more into that in a little bit. But yeah, it was just all right, sure.
Yeah, I can't imagine it was easy to come to the realization that we were gonna
we were doing it for real.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, it was a whirlwind too. I mean, from the time that I got off my boat to moving into the quadplex was 2 months.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because it was Thanksgiving, you got off the boat. Mm-hmm. And then December, we were doing the paperwork. And then January, February timeframe, we were actually starting to move into the quad. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's like winter and it's freezing. And we only had baseboard heaters with vaulted ceilings in this place too. And I was just like, it finally started hitting me. I was like, what on earth are we getting into?
Yeah, that was not.
It was a wild time.
Yeah, man, because that was, at that time we had our single family home that we were moving from. We had the quad that was completely empty they were moving into. And that was the end of January, 2019. And we were also had the triplex that we had bought as well. Mm-hmm. That was also completely empty. That mm-hmm. we were also supporting the mortgage for.
Right.
So we had 9 units that were completely empty that we were supporting the mortgage for all on our own. And
it was just very jarring. So for me, I, you know, had a very conservative view of money. I said, okay, I'm going to save and save, and I'm going to put my money in the right accounts and they'll slowly accrue interest. And so it was very conservative and, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that, but this was something just so far beyond anything that I was even remotely familiar with. And all I could see was debt just piling up and not really appreciating that, like, yes, there's such a thing as good debt. And, you know, not, basically, I wasn't a fan. Let's just put it that way. And so it was a rough time for us. You know, I was in a pretty good spot for me, for my career. I was still very junior and just getting started. And you know, making a 102 pays is not, it pays the bills when you're doing normal normal things for an 01 and 02, but this was so far out there that I just was very quickly becoming overwhelmed. And not just because we were supporting the mortgages, but because we had empty units. And because those units, the more we dug, the more we found that they needed a little loving, more than a little loving. And then Carver was a disaster, that triplex. And then the quad, as the weather got warmer, started having its own issues. Yeah, it was a lot.
So it was a lot. And eventually we got over, you know, we got tenants in there. We got the renovations done on the quad and got tenants in that area. This is a lot to come to grips with. So how did you kind of get over those doubts and fears about the path that we were taking? Because it's, you know, it's new for both of us. Mm-hmm. And as someone who hadn't, you know, grown up or, you know, known that path before, you know, how did you really come to grips with that? Because that was something that, you know, we weren't really on the same wavelength for a long time. And that, you know, challenged our marriage in some aspects.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. I don't want to sugarcoat this. It was not an easy time for us. You know, just figuring out what on earth we were doing, let alone getting tenants in, getting rent rolling, and everything like that. And for me, it didn't take long for me to feel like, what on earth did we get ourselves into? And it took a while. We struggled through it a little bit. And they say money is one of those things that will cause rifts in marriages. And we found that to be very true. So I'll be perfectly upfront about that. But for me, what took getting over it, now we did go to a few social events where there were other people and they're like, oh yeah, this is fantastic. Just ride it out. Don't worry. And I'm like, yeah, okay. In the back of my mind, I'm like, you guys are crazy. But eventually it was seeing the slow success. And seeing like, okay, like now we have renters in. Okay. Seeing that those first payments coming in, seeing the first, real money in the bank, eventually paying down our debts. It took slow proven success for me, to be able to really like fully jump on board. I kind of, as we started to have success, had this kind of cautious optimism, like, yeah, okay, but like, what's going to be the next problem? Because we certainly had our share of problems with the units and the renters and everything like that. But as we slowly succeeded, that was what did it for me. Cause I'm a controlling person. If things are out of my control, I'm not a fan. And so it was like, okay, now we have things more under control. And now I feel a little better about it. Now I feel fine about it. But like at the time it took months and months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
It was a lot.
You know, for someone who, may not enjoy dealing with the numbers, may not enjoy dealing with tenants and all of that, how would you recommend someone get their spouse involved with the real estate investing side of things, whether they're male, female, it doesn't really matter. How would mm-hmm. you recommend from a spouse yourself who's not really directly involved with the real estate investing part of it, how would you recommend they get more involved with it or address that with their spouse?
So I think that took us time to figure out too. And ultimately, you know, what works for us may not work for everybody, but I think, it was the small things that I was able to help with. And it was the very real conversations about money. I initially was like, okay, yeah, you pay the bills. I'm not going to worry about it because I know him and I love him and I trust him. And, but like, once I knew that we were kind of in a bad spot, it took some very uncomfortable conversations, but some conversations that needed to happen, about money and like, okay, here are our goals. And now every 2 weeks when it's time to, when we have a payday, we take a look at numbers together. So I know how much debt we're accruing in our business accounts. I know where that money is going to. I know how much is in my like checking account where my paychecks come into. And I hated it initially. I really, really did not enjoy those conversations because for me, it was just, we're in the red, we're in the red, we're in the red. And slowly, eventually we were in the green. But I think taking that step and taking that uncomfortable leap, was really important for us. And now we have a much healthier relationship with each other and with money. And it's much easier to talk about money because let's be real, like real estate investing isn't going to happen without conversations about money. So that was one major thing. I think the other, I have two other things to say. One other thing was where there were instances where I could give input, you know, whether it was picking toilets, right? Like we fixed up some bathrooms. And so I got to help pick out toilets because I love Home Depot and I love product placement, you know, an opportunity to redo a room and stuff like that. So those creative kind of aspects, I really enjoyed. And so that was a more fun way for me to get involved. And then the third, and I think, you know, right up there with the money discussions, as far as importance goes, was, drawing boundaries, because it, you know, house hacking, it's a full-time job, right? You're worried about what's going on with your other tenants. You know, we had tenants who lived above us who would just scream and stomp and like argue at all hours of the night, smoke in the house. Like it was a very stressful, frustrating thing. Mm-hmm. And so even though we were living in that, the other thing was, you know, Anthony was working on it all the time. He was analyzing deals. He was networking. You know, you were finding all of these other ways to get involved in real estate. And it was this, you know, great, shiny new thing. Now, I did not appreciate that all of these things that he was doing were helping set us up for success. However, for the sake of our marriage, I think we came a long way once we drew a boundary. We drew a line. We said, okay, once, you know, 8, 9 o'clock hits, you're done. Like, wrap things up. We're going to finish the day together. Instead of like him being up at all hours of the night, all hours of the morning. And then even when we came here, right, we're in Japan, we're not exactly on the same timeline as other people, but finding a way to make things work where I could say, okay, like this is your time, and acknowledging that and appreciating that. But then also like him being able to turn it off at the end of the day and say like, okay, I've done it. You know, you treat it like a job, right? You still drive home from work at the end of the day. And I think COVID has kind of enlightened a lot of people with teleworking that you still have to be able to shut it down at the end of the day, draw a line and set aside quality time for each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I think that's been that's a big thing with doing side hustles in general. That's mm-hmm. really tough for I think a lot of military people in general, not just with real estate investing, but with any side hustle is. Where do you draw the line with how much time you spend on something? Because I mean, the nature of a side hustle is it is a side hustle for right. a reason, right? It's not
you
your
main job.
You
still have a full-time job.
Right, exactly, right? You do a 9 to 5 and then when are you going to do your side hustle, mm-hmm. right? It naturally has to be
Take
mutually.
Take its own time.
Yeah, it has to be mutually exclusive mm-hmm. with time outside of work, right? And that time is spent, you know, that could be spent doing time, you know, spent with family. It could be spent doing other hobbies. It could be spent doing a sport or anything else, right? Cooking, sleeping, right? So it has to just kind of zero sum game with something else within your life. And that was something that took me a long time to grasp is, I think we get, I think a lot of guys get caught up in this and in the rat race to end the rat race. And we get trapped in this idea that we need to go in this side hustle to do something with their lives, to like get involved with real estate investing, to hit this financial freedom number, to, you know, we need to fill the 8 hours out of the rest of our day outside of sleeping and outside of doing our W-2 to make sure that we are going to set ourselves up after we get done with our W-2, especially with military guys, right? We know we're going to get out in 3 years. What are we going to do between now and then to make sure that we're set up for afterwards, right? Or 2 years or 7 years or whatever that is, right? And for me, that's kind of been, I knew when I got off in 2018, I got off my boat. I knew I had a set amount of time after that point that I was going to go to Japan and I was going to get out. And I knew from then to now that I had to get something set up before I was going to get out, and I was going to be real estate investing or having enough assets built up to have passive income to get out and be set up. And, that type of mentality does things to your mind that makes you sacrifice a lot of things. And for me, that was sacrificing a lot of time with Peggy, sacrificing a lot of time with my family. And it took me a long time to realize that, you know, in this rat race that I was setting up for myself, sacrificing this time with my family, it was really sacrificing my why to satisfy my why, in a sense, if that kind of makes sense, right? I was doing all these things to have more time with my family by sacrificing time with my family. It didn't really make sense.
So I think that, you kind of hit the nail on the head. It was, because I remember at some point we had a very frank conversation about it. I was like, okay, so you're saying that you want to do this for us, but you're sacrificing all this time for us. So I think remembering the why, and like set your goals very clearly from the beginning. Like, okay, like, yes, I want to be financially free, but why? Like, is it just for money? Or do you have a real reason? And for us, it's the goal is for us to be able to spend time as a family. And so,
yeah,
back to that.
Yeah. I think it's, crazy. The past 3 weeks have really been eye-opening to this whole thought process, this whole concept. You know, our baby was due at the, now it's July when this episode has come out, but she was due at the beginning of June. Or that's when her due date was. And, she was born at the end of April, 5 weeks early. And, due dates are, a slippery thing. Like, it's like 5% of babies are actually due at their due date or something like
born
that.
Born on their due date. Yeah.
Very, it's like a
small
crazy
percentage.
Crazy small number.
Yeah.
But to me, it was like a set date. Like, okay, like we're planning our whole lives around this date. And even like 2 weeks before that, she was supposed to be termed. It's like, okay, like we got plenty of time. Like we'll like plan all these things in our lives. Like my birthday was planned, like all of these things. And like, she came 5 weeks early
and it wasn't just you, because I worked in labor and delivery. I know what these numbers look like, and I know how often babies don't come on their due dates. And so I was just like, okay, I just got to get to like, the middle of May and we'll be in good shape. No. And I was, here totally unreal estate related, but I was burning the candle at both ends. And I literally was in the ambulance en route to the hospital, sending messages to my coworkers about work related things. And so I think for both of us, we in our own ways, in our own careers, in our own time, have gotten very fixated on the living to work and not working to live.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I think the saying that, man makes plans and God laughs thing was definitely at play here.
It's a good joke.
I mean, seriously, but I think my why definitely like became glaringly clear the past 3 weeks, where, our baby girl was born and like everything stopped. my W-2 stopped. Like my boss said, like, leave, just leave. And I went to the hospital. Real estate stopped for a whole week and I just did nothing. And, you know, if you would ask me a week before that, or even 2 days before that, if I could just do that and would the world stop? And I would be like, oh yeah, absolutely. Like I couldn't stop doing real estate. I couldn't stop doing my W-2. I'd be like, the world cannot continue operating without me doing something like sending emails, whether it's at, you know, my Navy job or at, you know, real estate job. And it was crazy how much everything came into perspective, how much that didn't matter to me anymore. Now that my, you know, my baby was born and my wife was fine and like healthy and like, you know, and both of my girls were alive. And it just, everything changed, right? Like my whole past 3 years had been to prepare for this moment, to take care of my family, and how it just made sense. Everything made sense and it was perfect.
And shockingly moment. Or unshockingly, you know, in the military, you're replaceable. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Like job, I finally, once I put the phone, we got to the hospital, I put the phone down and I was just like, I just got out of so many things. Like I had been working on 2 projects and had been selected, which, you know, basically means voluntold, to do like 2 high level visit related things and like joint commission related things and all of these other things and projects. And astoundingly or unastoundingly, they found other people to do them when I was no longer available. So I think remembering that it's just so important.
For sure. Damn, we just got real deep there.
I know.
Wow, I did not expect us to go as deep there as we went. Oh, okay. Do you want to get into the snapshot round?
All right.
Now.
All ahead, plank, cavitate. Snapshot, tube.
All right, here we go. All right, Peggy, what is your number one failure in real estate, or I guess our number one failure in real estate?
I guess probably for me, I think it was learning the hard lesson to trust your gut, whether that is with people or properties. And because there were some people that we interacted with that I remember saying after we like first met them, I was like, I don't know about this person. Mm. And then their track records kind of proved kind of what my initial impression was. And then same with properties. Oh my goodness. Carver, we could do a whole like podcast in and of itself on the disaster that was the triplex that we initially invested in. But I remember thinking like, this is shoddy work. Like the doors were out of alignment. There were like holes with drafts, like at the baseboards. Basically just shoddy work. And I was like, no, I don't feel good about this, but I just, you know, I was along for the ride at that point. And I just deferred to the guy who was doing all the research and I didn't push. And then, you know, there were even some things in the quad that, you know, just became exciting projects. So I think it was, not a failure necessarily so much as a hard lesson learned. It's trust your gut, and it's hard to develop that, and you end up having to learn those hard lessons anyway in one shape or form. But yeah,
truth. Cool. All right, as an active duty investor, what advice do you have for other military investors to be successful?
I think coming from not just active duty investor but active duty dual active duty investors is kind of what we've already touched on. It's set aside time for each other. Remember your why, like why you're getting into it. And remember that in the military, you're replaceable. Sorry, that's a hard truth, but the job will go on without you.
Cheers. All right. What inspired you to serve your country?
So I, around the time that I was applying for college and trying to make all those decisions, my mom, who's a Navy reservist, Nurse Corps officer, was deployed to Afghanistan, and was sending home these amazing stories, involving combat medicine. And I caught the bug. I was like, I want to be part of that. I want to do that. And so applied for ROTC and Villanova and got accepted to both. And yeah, the rest is history. Did my Navy training while I was still in college, and then came out as a commissioned Nurse Corps officer, went right into working in the hospital and right into the military, and haven't gone back yet.
There you go. Yeah. Perfect. All right. And then last question for you. What is your dream, Peggy?
What is my dream? I think I still am very much a live to work. Like, I like seeing those successes. It's kind of addicting. And I think you'll, and I know you relate to this too. It's addicting to see your projects and your successes come to fruition. And, you know, you get your like must promote and whatever on your fit reps, and it's like a gold star. Yeah. And that's great. But I think for me, my dream is, you know, working to live, like figuring out that balance for myself and for us. And just being able to live comfortably. I'm not a big numbers person. He's asked me this before. He's like, what number do you think we need for money to be able to live comfortably? I'm like, I don't know. But I just, you know, I want to be able to provide a good life for our kids and for us, and to be able to live comfortably without, having to think too hard about money. That would be nice.
Good answer. Awesome. Well, Peggy, thank you for joining us, me today, I guess. And yeah, this has been great. It's crazy thinking back to 3 years ago, how far we've come and all this. And
it's very humbling.
How many miles we've traveled and properties we've gone through and money we've spent and earned. And it's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's crazy how much we've gone through. Couldn't wish for anyone else to join me in all this. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for pushing me out of my comfort zone.
Yeah, of course.
It's not easy, but it's been worth it. It's been very worth it.
Absolutely. High five. Good job. All right. See you guys next time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you are a military investor and found this episode of the Lessons in Real Estate show packed with great information, tell your friends and leave a 5-star rating on your listening platform. Every comment is read and appreciated. Don't forget to check out our weekly episodes of PCI Teaches, brought to you by Pinto Capital Investments. Learn about basic and advanced topics in real estate investing. Catch updates on Anthony's journey through Learn and Teach segments. And listen to the tales of other military investors and real estate professionals every week. We'll catch you next time on the Lessons in Real Estate show.